So true. So true. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You know, to be born again in the Lord Jesus Christ is a miracle, is it not? It is a miracle. It's a miracle. When I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, even before I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I think that folks would have thought that I was a relatively fair person, that I was relatively a good person, although I wasn't saved, and not being saved doesn't make a difference whether I'm a good person or not. What's important is that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. He makes all the difference in the world. And when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, the Holy Spirit came in. And the Bible says that that is the miracle work of the Holy Spirit. You and I as Christians this morning are miracles. We're miracles. And this morning as we look to John chapter 3, we're going to share about Nicodemus. And one of the things that drew Nicodemus to the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll learn, it was the miracles. The miracles that he saw. He was drawn to Jesus by that miracle. Well, some of the miracles that Jesus did in the New Testament church days, or in the New Testament, during his ministry, are miracles that we don't see today, or they're not as obvious today as they were in his day. But listen, you in your ministry and your walk every day, day by day, is a miracle that God has done in your life, and people ought to be able to see, be drawn to the Lord Jesus by your appearance, by your walk with the Lord Jesus. Christ is speaking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. He's come to Jesus by night seeking to know more about him. Why do you think he came by night? Why did Nicodemus come to the Lord Jesus by night? Anybody, just off the top of your head, why did he come by night? Huh? That's right, so he wouldn't be seen. So he wouldn't be seen. My goodness, the Pharisees weren't happy with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were disgusted with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were looking for any way to get Jesus Christ out of the picture. And here Nicodemus saw something wonderful about the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And so you and I, you know, sometimes in our ministry and in our walk with the Lord, we would rather walk openly with the Lord Jesus, giving an expression of our faith in the church rather than outside the church. And outside the church is where we really need to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. But Nicodemus, he didn't want to be seen talking to Jesus in the light of day, as it is sometimes true of many professing Christians. Many Christians are more comfortable sharing their faith inside the church rather than outside, but outside the church, as we've already mentioned, is where it really matters most of all. Isn't that true? I believe that's true. In Mark chapter 8, verse 38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels." I want the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want the Lord Jesus Christ to be disappointed in me because I hid the gospel message I was only willing to share my faith with the Lord Jesus in the church rather than outside the church where it matters mostly. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And then in Psalm 107, verse 2, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And so if you're a born-again Christian today, and I hate to use that term, born-again Christian, Christians are Christian, born-again, period. There's no higher level or lower level. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again. So Christians ought to be ready always to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be willing to share their faith with others. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, who later on, after he repented and the Lord Jesus called him to be the leader, if you will, as Peter seemed to be the leader always, even before he denied the Lord Jesus, Peter was always the one that was outspoken. Even after his denial and his repentance, the Lord Jesus looked to him to be a blessing and to be an encouragement to the other disciples. Peter said this, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." And I'm thankful. You know, my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ gives me hope in this world. My relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ gives me hope in this world, and I trust that it gives you hope as well. We were talking not too long ago, I don't know if it was in the Layman's League meeting or maybe at one of the prayer times here at the church, but we were talking about how terrible it would be for some folks who face some of the situations our church family members face, that they would face those miserable times without any hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without any relationship whatsoever to the Lord Jesus. It is a wonderful thing, it's a comforting thing, and it's a reassuring thing to have a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when we're going through times of sadness and sorrow. I know that Ellen over at the hospital, Ellen said, told me, if she's told me once, she's told me a number of times, I have peace in my heart, she says, I've committed Bill to the Lord. Whatever the Lord has for Bill, I'm perfectly willing to accept it. Now, Ellen would love for the Lord Jesus to reach down and restore his kidneys, restore his heart vessels, to restore his lungs and all of that. But she's perfectly willing to accept God's will in Bill's life. And by the way, Bill is too. But during this time, this time of seemingly sadness and sorrow, they're still comforted because of their relationship to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit ministers to us in times like these. Nicodemus, a religious teacher of the Jews, comes to Jesus by night to learn more about him. He asks some searching questions. And by the way, you know, God's not afraid of your questions. God is not afraid of your questions. If you have questions of God, ask him. Ask him. I know that there are church family members here that will come to the pastor and you'll be confused about a portion of Scripture. And you'll hope that the pastor can answer that question. But if I can't answer that question, we're going to find out. We're going to find the answer for you. We're going to work to find the answer for you. But it's a poor student who refuses to ask questions. You ought to ask questions. Ask questions of the Lord Jesus. And he'll lead you to the answer. But Nicodemus has some searching questions here. Verse 2, he says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And so here we see that Nicodemus was drawn to the Lord Jesus because of his miracles. Matthew chapter 7, so Nicodemus is asking questions. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Just like the little message this morning that Jeanette brought for our youth and also for us. I've heard people say, and even ministers say in the past, look, all you have to do is ask God one time. Just ask him one time and leave it to him. But I don't think the Bible teaches that at all. God wants to hear us. He wants to hear us day in and day out. His ear is never too heavy or never closed to our prayers. So we need to be persistent in our prayer. God says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." And so God says, listen, not only do you need to be persistent in your calling upon me, but also you know that you can put me to the test. God doesn't mind being put to the test. And so God's not afraid of our questions, and he's not afraid of us putting him... listen, but God's not going to be mocked. I mean, don't mock God. Because God knows when you're mocking him, you know? You say, well, all I've got to do is ask, and I'll just get anything I want to. No, that's not the way it is. That's not... God will provide you as his will leads. But we're never to mock God by asking him for things. Nicodemus had questions, and so he came to Christ. And in a roundabout way, he asked, "Who are you? Who are you?" John chapter 3, beginning in picking up in verse 3, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning again, as we have an opportunity to share in your word, Lord, we thank you for each one that's come this way. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word. We ask your blessing upon each one that's with us this morning, Father. If there's one here that's never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus, we pray that today the Holy Spirit would knock so upon their heart's door that they'll open their heart and receive Christ as Lord and Savior. We know, Father, that you'll not drag any man into glory that doesn't want to go. You open the door, you invite them to come, Father, and then you just leave it up to us to make that decision. And so, Father, we just pray that there'll be decisions made this morning, both for those who are without you, and then others, Father, who know you as their personal Savior, but maybe they're walking in a way that doesn't bring honor and glory. They're not lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ in any way where the world can see the Lord Jesus lifted up and be drawn to his saving grace. So, Father, this morning for both the lost and the saved, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to us as we need that ministering. Father, bless you, get praise, get honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Here Christ is speaking to Nicodemus of spiritual rebirth, but Nicodemus was not able to understand this spiritual talk. Why wasn't Nicodemus able to understand this spiritual talk? Because he didn't have the Spirit of God in him. He didn't have the Spirit of God in him. You and I have the Spirit of God if we're Christians in us. Therefore, when we open the Holy Scriptures and we begin to read and we ask God to give us wisdom and understanding about what we're reading, it's amazing and it's marvelous and it's a miracle the way God begins to speak to us through His Word. But other folks who have never come into a personal relationship with Christ, never been born again, then they pick up the Bible and they read it and they say it makes no sense at all. It makes no sense at all. And that's understandable. It's not going to make sense to them until they receive Christ and they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul told the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," listen, "the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are," what? "Spiritually discerned." Spiritually discerned. Nicodemus couldn't understand Christ because he had not the Spirit of God in him. Thus, Nicodemus' response was the natural, ignorant response of the human heart to a spiritual truth. I remember back years ago when I first read, as I was growing as a Christian, as I first read about the life of Nicodemus and the petition Nicodemus brought before the Lord Jesus Christ, how absolutely interesting it was that Nicodemus asked an ignorant question, but it was actually for an unsaved man. It was a proper. I would want to ask the same question: how is it possible for a person to get back into the mother's womb and be born again? And yet, as we've grown in the Lord Jesus Christ and we've come to realize the Spirit of God and how He works in our lives, we understand what God is talking about here. And Nicodemus is about to get a hold of this as well. Nicodemus couldn't understand Christ because he had not the Spirit of God in him. And so God begins to explain this. In verse 5, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Now just think about that for a minute. Just think about that for a minute. Can we see the wind? No, we can't see the wind. Well, neither can we see the Holy Spirit. But can we see the effects of the wind? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. As it sweeps across a golden wheat field or through the trees or across a snow-capped mountain peak or as it drives the sailboat through the open sea, we can see the testimony that the wind exists. And you can feel the effects of the wind as it brushes by your face and through your hair. So it is also possible to see the effects of the Holy Spirit and even to feel His presence in the human heart when that heart is born again, even though we don't see the Spirit Himself. I tell you what, that's the miracle working in your life, is the presence of the Holy Spirit. People ought to be able to see the Holy Spirit working in your life. Verse 9, "Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? And in fact, he's asking, aren't you a teacher? You're a teacher of Scripture, Old Testament Scripture. You're a teacher and you still don't understand these things. Verse 11, Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and you receive not our witness. I want you to turn just for a moment back to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Because all of the scribes and the Pharisees, all of those teachers of the Scriptures should have been familiar with Ezekiel chapter 37. They should have been very familiar about what this prophecy was all about, and it was about Israel. And so as the Lord Jesus is sharing with Nicodemus, he's talking about the wind. He's talking about the fact that the Spirit moves in us, that the Spirit may not be seen, but we can see the effects of this of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 37. Beginning in verse 1. It says, The hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel is speaking, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. Ezekiel chapter 37. Nicodemus should remember this prophecy of Ezekiel. These dead bones had been in the valley for many years. And this prophecy speaks of the spiritual deadness of God's people. Oh my, boy, aren't there dead bones today? I believe there's dead bones in the church today. I really believe there's dead bones in the church today. This prophecy speaks of the spiritual deadness of God's people. Christ came into this world at the lowest spiritual time of His people, the Israelites. They were dead in their trespasses and sins. Not just the publican and the sinners, but the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all of the rulers of the Sanhedrin were like dead men's bones, producing nothing. And verse 3 of Ezekiel chapter 37 says, And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and you will bring up will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, Ezekiel says, So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. So what have you got? You've got bodies come together, almost like, you go to a funeral and you see a body there, but there's no breath in the body. It's just a dead body. Just a dead body. Somebody told me, somebody asked me a question back some time ago about flesh and blood inheriting the kingdom of God. And I've often said that, that the flesh, that your physical body of flesh and bone will dwell eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial reign of the Lord. Eternally, period. That one of these days God's going to resurrect the body and that the Spirit's going to come back and be joined to the body. It's going to be a new body, a flesh and bone to live for all eternity. And somebody would quote to me and say, well, the Bible says flesh and bone cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And I told him, I said, well, that's exactly what that means. If you went to a funeral and you saw the deceased laying in the coffin, walk up to him and ask him. Ask that deceased body, do you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? What's going to be the response of the body? Nothing. Because spirit and bone cannot inherit kingdom. Only the spirit, not spirit, flesh and bone cannot inherit. Only the spirit. The spirit had better have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ before the clay found the coffin. That's what Jesus said. In John chapter 8, if you believe not that I am the eternal God, you will die in your sins because where I'm going, you can't come. John chapter 8. Here, these bodies are bodies, but they're dead bodies. There's no life in these bodies. There's no breath. God today has restored the nation of Israel as a people. They have been brought back together out of the valley of death. Yet today there is no breath in them. for they have not yet acknowledged Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have not yet acknowledged Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Ezekiel goes on to prophesy. He says, "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind." Now just think about what Jesus has just shared with Nicodemus. "Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." And by the way, that's going on today. That's happening today. Many folks, and for some years, the Israelites have made a decision to go back to Israel, to go back home to Israel. God is calling the Israelites from all over the world. "Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." You see, Nicodemus should have remembered this prophecy of Ezekiel. He should have remembered it. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then he speaks to him about this mighty wind that would come one day very soon and sweep across the nation of Israel. But when Christ began to share this wonderful truth of being born again, Nicodemus was completely baffled. "How can these things be?" he said. Verse 10 of John chapter 3. Verse 10, John chapter 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." At the same moment, based on what the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is here, not only when he was here on the earth was he present here, but he was also at the same time present in heaven. I don't understand that. You don't understand that, but by and by, one of these days, we will. Albert Barnes writes that this is a very remarkable expression. Jesus, the Son of Man, was then bodily on earth conversing with Nicodemus, yet he declares that he is at the same time in heaven. This can be understood only as referring to the fact that he had two natures. He had his divine nature, which was heavenly, and he had the human nature, which was on the earth. In John chapter 10, verse 27 through 33, Jesus said this. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Are you one of God's sheep this morning? Amen. Amen. If not, boy, you need to make a commitment to Christ. You need to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." You know, when Jesus said that, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, because he was declaring himself to be one and the same with his Father. In John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus saith unto them, "Have I been so long time with you?" Speaking to Philip. You know, Philip said, Philip was listening to Jesus talk about the Father, and he said, "Lord, if you'll just show us the Father, we'll be happy, we'll be satisfied. It will suffice us. And Jesus said unto Philip, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen" who? "The Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father?" I'm right here with you, Philip. I'm right here with you. Hallelujah. He's right here with us this morning too. There is only one way for any human heart to understand even minutely the truth of God, and that is by being born again of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul writes, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You will never be able to read the Word of God with any level of understanding or edification or appreciation without first having been born again by the presence of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God reveals the message of God to us. Verse 14. And as Moses, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now he's talking about what? He's talking about going to Calvary's cross. That's what he's talking about. The Son of Man will be lifted up just like the serpent. You remember the story of the serpent? The vipers, the deadly snakes were biting the rebellious Israelites, and God sent a plague, and he sent these poisonous asps, these snakes, and they were biting the people, and as they were biting the people, they ran to Moses and said, Moses, intercede for us, pray for us, seek God's face on our behalf. And Moses, if I had been Moses and you'd have been Moses, you'd have probably said, Lord, take care, just get rid of all of them, probably. You know, that'd been maybe our attitude. But Moses interceded for them. And what did Moses tell him to do? What did God tell Moses to do? He said, go and get a staff and fashion a serpent. Fashion a metal piece of a serpent of brass and hold it up and ask the people and tell the people if they'll look on this symbol, if you'll look on it, they'll be healed. And sure enough, the people began to look to that, by faith, they began to look at that serpent lifted up, that brass serpent lifted up, and they began to be healed. And Jesus said, just as the serpent was lifted up in the Old Testament, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's talking about Calvary. And he would draw all men to me. As Moses lifted up, verse 14, the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For does that say, and go to church and tithe and all of those other things? There's nothing there that doesn't say that. Well, we come to church because we love the Lord. We come to church because the Bible says, forsake not the gathering of ourselves together. I need your encouragement. You need my encouragement. We need to support each other as we wait upon the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This marvelous truth Nicodemus hears with his own ears, but now he must take the truth and apply it to his heart. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. This is the Lord Jesus speaking in John chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Every time we hear somebody take God's name in vain, God damn this or damn that. Do you know what we're doing? We're twisting the good news of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It troubles me. It troubles me to hear somebody take God's name in vain. Verse 18, Jesus says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Listen to me. If you don't ever receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I believe this morning that each and every one of us belongs to the Lord Jesus, but it may be possible that somebody is here this morning has never made a personal commitment to Christ. Let me tell you something. There's nothing you have to do to be damned. You already are. You already are. But there's something you have to do to be saved, and that's to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's the instrument. He's the power that's going to lift you out of this condemned world. Salvation is not by the law, Nicodemus. That's what God's telling Nicodemus. Salvation is not by the law. Salvation is not by the keeping of rituals and ceremonies, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, salvation comes when one believes in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of his heart. And when we understand the truth of salvation and receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are born anew in Christ Jesus. And we are filled with his Spirit. And we are born again. And with that rebirth, you know what? God gives us a great commission, doesn't he? And we are commissioned by Christ to go and tell others. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. We then, as workers together, Paul says, with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. If you've been saved, don't just sit down and do nothing. Don't just sit down. You have a power in you to go out and to minister and to let others see Jesus in you. Paul says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's the wonderful truth. Jesus answered your call when you cried out to him. But listen, he's crying out to people all over the world. His message is going out throughout the world, and we need to be lights. We need to be miracles walking around that people can see. Nicodemus was drawn to Christ by the miracles he performed. In our Christian walk, day by day, the miracle of our rebirth in Jesus Christ and our walking day by day by the leading of the Holy Spirit can be a great testimony to others who have yet to be born again. We can be that miracle testimony that draws others to inquire of us, who is this Jesus that you serve? For the Christian this morning, the question is, are you serving Christ today? Do others see Jesus in you? And for the one who has not yet made a commitment to Christ, I would remind you of the words of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This world is headed for destruction, but God has made a way through his only begotten Son for you and for me to be delivered from the destruction to come. And verse 17 again, Jesus said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Have you been born again? I trust that you have. I trust that you have. God beckons us to look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's nobody else. There's no other way to gain eternal life. There's no other path. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you for the great commission, Father. We thank you that you are using us, Father, to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we draw, the only way we're ever going to draw people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus is to live in such a way as others might see the Lord Jesus in us and be drawn. As we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking, Father, others will be drawn to receive him as well. Father, this morning, whatever the burden is upon any heart, I pray for that individual, Father. I just ask you to bless them, Father, and lift that burden. If there's one here this morning, it's lost and undone without you, Father. I pray that today would be the day that they'll open their heart and receive that great invitation to come as you have presented it. And then, Father, if there's Christians this morning that are walking adrift from thee, Father, they're not really... They're not really lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just kind of going with the flow. I pray that the Holy Spirit will so convict their hearts that they'll see a need to again seek your face and seek the moving of the Holy Spirit, that their light will begin to shine again. Father, do for these this morning what they can't do for themselves, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.